Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan. I can't wait
You know the KC and the Sunshine Band sang that song? Did you know that?
Yes, I did. And the only thing I think about when I hear that song is the classic Boogie Nights.
Yeah?
Yeah. One of my criminally underrated movies. Love Boogie Nights. It doesn't get its credit because it's about porn, but it is a really, really well done movie.
No, not to open a can of worms here because I want to get to Kirby Smart Audio.
Yeah.
But
you're about to open a can of worms.
What is the most? What song is most synonymous with a certain movie?
Holiday Road's pretty good. I mean, we play it every day, and I can't think of anything but National Lampoon's when I hear that.
Chariots of Fire.
Chariots of Fire is good. I know it's not a song, but the
Jaws theme.
Do scores matter? Because the Jaws theme.
No, I'm talking about songs by groups or artists.
Because the other one is anything John Williams does. I mean, the Imperial March to the opening credits of Star Wars, Superman. I mean, Indiana Jones. Like some of the most recognizable tunes on the planet. But those were made for the movie.
When I hear Dream On, I think of Miracle.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a big enough movie to, like, Footloose is another one. I mean,
that movie sucks.
Yeah, Footloose, that's a good one.
Footloose is good. Danger Zone, Top Gun.
There
is,
you go.
Is probably a phenomenal one for people because that was a giant movie.
Maybe Unchained Melody.
There you go. Unchained Melody is good from Ghost, and then The Time of Your Life. What is the official, I've Had the Time of My Life. Is that the actual name of the song? The Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
I think it's Time of My Life. The last song from Dirty Dancing.
I know what you're talking about.
I mean, they did a whole Crazy Stupid Love did a whole movie based around that song and the doing the Dirty Dancing lift. I mean, that's I've Had the Time of My Life. That one may be number one for me.
Stand By Me.
Stand By Me is a good one. Yeah.
All right. Well, now to college football.
And for something completely different.
Yeah. Kirby Smart is the coach at Georgia. Now, last I checked, Georgia and Oregon were both in the top five this year. And some have Georgia 1, Oregon 2.
Yeah.
So.
Both are one of the few teams that could win the whole thing.
Probably don't need to say this, but just in case somebody out there is, you know, just a casual sportser.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Lanning coached under Kirby Smart.
Yes.
He was the defensive coordinator on one of those championship teams.
They know each other well.
So Kirby was out at SEC Media Day with his old ill-fitting suit. And
yeah, can we just get like a, I mean, God, you make like $12 million a year. Can you get a tailor?
Yeah, I don't think he cares.
No, it's true.
And he probably doesn't, well, how often do you think Kirby Smart wears a suit? Because I don't think it's as much as you would think.
Probably not, but you know, things like this, or I'm sure it's some booster. And
he probably didn't even need to wear a suit to this.
Probably not,
but he did,
mm-hmm.
And it looked like he hadn't bought a suit in 20 years. but that's okay.
Yeah,
you know, priorities.
Sure.
So Kerbs was out there and took a little shot at Oregon.
I don't know if it was necessarily a shot. I think it was more of a. I think like Saban did this when he was talking about A&M. I think Kirby, yeah, it's a little shot at Oregon, but I think more it's a shot at his boosters.
This year we took Nike, who I've had the great pleasure of meeting Phil Knight and his wonderful wife Penny, and I wish I could get some of that NIL money that he's sharing with Dan Lanning, but that's another note.
You lost me there in the beginning. You said my NIL what?
The joke about Nike and Dan Lanning.
Dan Lanning having the treasure chest to open up and get whatever he wants. Yeah, but what was your question?
So there you go. Short and sweet, but a couple references to Dan Lanning's treasure chest there.
There's no way to confirm this because like there's a list that tracks these that has Oregon at 19, which is absurd.
Yeah, but when Kirby Smart's saying it,
yes,
come on, man.
So I mean, we have someone that's very tied into the recruiting world. I've tried to talk to people to kind of get an idea of this. The worst that I've heard. about Oregon's NIL is the following. Oregon has never lost a kid because of NIL money, and that is the lowest bar. And then the other is Oregon will outspend everybody. And then, of course, Rick Neuheisel came out and said that there's an unlimited amount of funds. Unlimited is somewhat misleading because Oregon's not giving every kid $10 million. But while most places have a cap, and year to year they're having to raise a certain amount of money, Oregon is running there. Division Street, I think, is their NIL collective. They're running it more like a sustainable business that keeps generating money every year. And there isn't a budget. Oregon has whatever they need to go after a player. Hence, they will never get outspent on a kid. Now, that doesn't mean that you can buy every kid. In fact, the receiver that just committed,
About Moore from Duncanville?
Yeah, the wide receiver, the five-star receiver. You can take it for what it's worth, but his mom said that Texas offered them more money, and that's not the only reason that they came here. I guarantee that Oregon was very much in the ballpark on that. So, yes, NIL is something that has absolutely leveled the playing field for Oregon, and they will not be outspent. And, yes, they are probably offering significantly more than probably 99% of the schools out there, but it's not the only reason. Otherwise, A&M would also have a phenomenal recruiting class every single year. And so I think it's a little cheap to say that the only reason they're having this recruiting success is because of NIL. They have hammer recruiters, and they have a lot of flash and sizzle because of Nike, and then it's backed by essentially an unlimited war chest. You put all of those things together, you've got a juggernaut. And we all know that years ago, 20-plus years ago, Phil got together in a room and asked everyone affiliated with Oregon, what do I have to do to make this a championship-level program? And that started what we now know is this modern run of Oregon football. And if you don't think at, 86, 87 years old, that dude ain't shifting it into high gears to win one before he goes, you're fooling yourself. But you're also doing a disservice if you think that's the only reason Oregon's successful.
Well, when the Georgia coach is commenting on it,
yeah,
it's clearly a thing.
Yes.
Which I think is great.
Yeah.
But also, they are buddy. You know, Dan Lanning and Kirby Smart.
Yes. So there's probably a little...
There's a little jabbing going on there. Because remember, Kirby Smart was the one who said, after Georgia beat the crap out of them,
yeah,
in Lanning's first game, he said, we just have better players.
Yeah. And he said, give it time. And, you know, you don't think that when Kirby hears about the resources that Lanning had, you don't think when they run into each other that he doesn't poke him in the ribs a little bit? Of course he does.
Well, I do think it's, you know, and I don't know the ins and outs of it in terms of the dollar figures, but come on. I mean, I think it's one thing if it's the Oregon State coach,
yes,
saying that. You're the coach at Georgia, dude. You've won two titles. Two? Three. Two.
Two.
You've won two titles.
He went back-to-back and then lost the opportunity to go for three.
You're a big boy in the SEC. You've got everything you need,
yep,
to dominate in college football. So it's a little, you know, coming from him, it's exactly, like, dude, shut up.
Yep.
Come on, man.
Well, and for years, the SEC and the programs like Georgia and Alabama, they had a giant advantage on everyone else, from facilities to booster money to the ability to play dirty, all of those things, recruiting grounds. I never once heard anyone from the SEC being like, you know, we may be great, but we have a lot of advantages that someone else doesn't have. And now all of a sudden, for the first time, maybe ever, there's a little school out west that has an advantage. Let's be honest, Nike and Phil give Oregon an advantage over every other school in the country. It doesn't mean that advantage is greater than the advantage of having fertile recruiting grounds and the SEC and the Georgia brand and all that. But for the first time, Oregon has something that Georgia and Bama don't. And I love the fact now, after 100 years of being in the catbird seat, someone has one advantage of you, and all of a sudden it's like, well, I don't like this.
Well, Saban was the king of that.
Yes.
Anytime he saw something that was shifting things away out of his favor,
yeah,
he would always comment on it and be, yeah, like, well, I don't like that.
Yeah, the spread offense and, you know, all this. And so, yeah, this but, all, I just, it's a big eye roll for me. But there is truth in that for the first time, and it's kind of crazy to think about it, for the first time, there is a school on the West Coast, and it's not named USC, it's not UW, that have a leg up on the rest of the competition.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, this is going to become a thing if Oregon wins a bunch of games.
God, yeah.
And this, just remember that it is an absurd notion that Oregon bought and didn't build a football winner.
Yeah.
That is an absurd notion. Yes. And you're going to hear that. If Oregon starts winning, or God forbid wins a title, or, you know, over the next 5 years, they just really, really, really good, even better than they have been. We can't fall into the trap of they just bought this and didn't build it, because if you say that, that is the most short-sighted thing ever. You have not been paying attention to the last 30 years of that program.
Mm-hmm. Well, and can I also ask, Alabama, who's won, how many did Bear win? Did Bear win?
Six?
Six. Saban's got six or seven on his own. So however many national titles Alabama has, and there's a lot, can we say that they bought it? Because they just had more resources. They built a 90,000 seat stadium. They paid for players. They had a passionate fan base, and they had all of their resources that they had that very few schools had, and they dumped it into their program. Oregon now has a bunch of resources they're dumping into a program. So I don't understand how you can say Auburn bought their national title with Cam Newton, literally bought him. And we know how much they paid for him. You know, it's like, if you think that Alabama and Georgia just had all these players come to those schools out of the goodness of their heart, I don't know what to tell you other than I've got some oceanfront property in the middle of Kansas that I'd love to sell you. It's just that now that it's on the up and up, and that you've got someone that's got more resources than you, because you've got a guy that's worth billions that wants to see his team win, I don't know, I think it's very... The hypocrisy knows no bounds when you're talking about, quote, buying a national championship. All right, by the way, they still haven't won anything.
Up next, Dabo Swinney is wary of the expanded college football playoff, and we'll tell you why next on The Fan.